Now, earlier this week, serial Saxo founder Patrick Nevin was jailed for 12 years for attacking women he met on Tinder. The 37-year-old attacked three women in the space of 11 days after meeting them through the dating app. The sentence, which was handed down on Monday, was for the rape of one woman and the sexual assault of another to run concurrently, meaning at the same time. It was a very high-profile case and one which raises a number of questions, including the issue of concurrent sentences, which campaigners want to see an end of, and also in relation to online safety and how we manage to keep ourselves safe if we're using dating apps. So to discuss all of this, I'm joined by Nolene Blackwell of the Dublin Rape Crisis Network. Nolene, good morning. Thanks for coming
in
to us.
Morning, Susan.
And just actually to say, if you have small ears around the radio this morning, you might just want to turn us down for the next few moments just while we discuss this. Nolene, you might start by giving me your reaction to this sentence on Monday. As I say, 14 years for raping a woman with 2 years suspended and 8 years for sexual assault, which Patrick Nevin will serve these sentences at the same time. What was your view of the sentence?
Yeah, so first of all, the 14 years is a serious sentence in as far as we know. One of the problems with sentencing in Ireland is that we don't have an overall picture because there's no overall database and because the guidelines are very high level, which judges can interpret in their own way. We need to see changes in that, but that requires new legislation, which is on its way slowly through the Oireachtas. So leaving that to one side, as far as we know, a 14-year sentence shows that the judge took really seriously the type of rape and the level of harm done, as well as the viciousness of the assaults that were involved in the rape. Because like the normal sentence seems to be around 10 or 11 years for rape. So 14 years is a significant sentence. And it was important that there was a significant sentence in this case, because in truth, this kind of case coming before the courts is new. We haven't seen much of prosecutions following rape arising from people who met on dating apps. So it was important that the courts understood how serious this was and how much harm that this man had done, who set out in a premeditated way in order to assault women who clearly were not consenting to the sexual activity involved. So 14 years, two of them suspended. And the terms of the suspension were that he not be involved in dating apps and that he engage in anger management classes. And while you would say, what is that about? The truth is that at the end of any sentence, somebody is going to come out of prison. This man had served sentences before. He had come out no better than he was before and remaining a danger. So the courts have to build in some way of trying to get people to see the harm that they've done and to understand it better and perhaps come out a better person than they were when they went in.
Talk to me a little bit about concurrent sentences, because we've done a lot of kind of work on this show over the past couple of months in relation to the voice of victims when it comes to sentencing and when it comes to parole and how they need a greater voice in that whole process. But in terms of concurrent sentences, I don't think there's lots of people who, if they haven't been directly affected by this, don't really realise that means running at the same time.
Yeah.
So a lot of victims will look on that as they got a sentence for one crime and the other crime they kind
was
of
free
was
nearly.
Free nearly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you will hear victims say that.
You will. And it's one of the sticky areas in relation to our penal system in general. The truth is most sentences are concurrent. If this was to be consecutive, given that he's already serving a sentence, it would be 14 plus 8, maybe with a quarter suspended, and that would be an effective sentence of 22 years. So, it's not an easy area at all. Nobody finds it easy. And the way we know that for sure is that even the courts which apply these sentences often aren't sure when it should be concurrent, when it should be consecutive, how you match the need for the victim to see that it was worth taking the case to court because they were sentenced. That has to be matched against a system which says that prison is about, it's about punishment, it's about deterring other people, and it's also about rehabilitation. And in fact, it is such an area of concern at the moment that there's a case listed where the Supreme Court is hearing a case in relation to pretty well this issue. There's a case going to come up in the autumn where the parties, the Director of Public Prosecutions, has been asked to address the court specifically on when should a sentence be concurrent and when should it be consecutive. Should we have more consecutive sentences? Because I think it's recognised that as far as the victims of sexual offences are concerned, they're going in, they're handing over the most intimate details of their lives to the general public effectively. And that they have to be clear as to what the outcome is going to be, and clear they are not at the moment.
You mentioned there that this case was unique and it was different, and it was probably the first big high profile case that we've seen in relation to the online element of it. And that was sort of what, you know, was in all of the headlines. Yeah. Tinder was mentioned time and time again. In your view, will we see much more of this?
Yeah, because look, people are making their friends online. You know, there's as big a chance now that you meet somebody online as that you will meet them in a club, a nightclub or a sporting club or at college or whatever, as so much of social life is conducted online. And the truth about all of the dating apps, including Tinder, is that loads of people meet good people and have a great time and no harm comes to them. However, that we are seeing in this and in other recent cases as well, the harm that somebody can do online. And in this case, there was a level of grooming of the people that were the victims of Nevin's crimes before he met them, building up a profile. And we have to take seriously the risks associated with the internet. And they are risks where, in a sense, at the moment, a lot of people are getting away free on this. So, for instance, you can have a fake profile on one of the dating apps. So you might know nothing. So somebody meeting you might know nothing at all about you. Nothing. So that is risky for the two parties meeting up. But it's also a way of harm being done. And I do think that there's a few things that need to happen really fast. One is that we push through a piece of legislation that the government has said is priority to set up a digital safety commissioner who will set out rules and codes of conduct for everybody. But the other thing I think that would be really helpful is if all of the social media companies had to know the identity in some way of the person who is logging in on site. They don't have to hand it out, but they should know it, so that if harm happens, that at least you can go back and find a real live human being and hold them to account.
Are they taking this seriously enough, the tech giants, Nolene? Like, we hear a lot of talk about them, and, you know, whether they're, you are mentioning age identification there, which would obviously come in handy as well for, you know, young people who shouldn't be on certain apps. Yeah, yeah. But surely they have a responsibility to at least make sure that there is a way of finding the original poster or the original person.
Yes, I certainly feel we will go that way. And I would say, if somebody's listening back to this in the digital archives in 10 years time, they'll go, imagine that it was that free, that you could do anything you liked. I mean, as far as the tech companies, all of the social media companies, including the dating apps, but all of them, they're all commercial organisations. They mean to make stacks of money. And the way they make stacks of money is by sharing. The more time you spend online, the more shares you do, the more you look at various things, the more money they make.
So do you think their MO is just to make it as easy as possible?
As easy as possible.
So they don't want to put any barriers in your way.
So if you're flashing up the risks every so often, you could put people off. If you're making a connection and online, then I would be saying you should be setting out what the normal rules are of blind dates, for instance, you know, and meet in a public place, try not to disclose too much information about yourself. You can get all this information if you look hard on the site, or if you look elsewhere on the internet, you'll get all of these sort of ideas. But if the minute a match was made, if you were to get an indication, these are the basic rules that you should obey, then that might put somebody off. And that's where the tech companies at the moment have no sanctions if they don't do that.
What about the idea, excuse me, of banning sex offenders, banning them from using dating apps or doing any online dating for life after a sentence, like in the case of Patrick Nevin?
Yeah, well, for life or for a period anyway. Mm. I don't see how you could police it right now, because people can do it anonymously. But for instance, after Nevin comes out, he will also be on the sex offenders register. And as a result of that, he will part of his sentence is close supervision for a period of 5 years by the probation service. So in the same way, you could probably say for a period of time, put them off. But if somebody, if all they have to do is set up a fake email address, use a fake photo.
They don't even have to give their name. They don't have to give their age. They don't have to give anything.
Then your risk is that they just go underground and they become harder to find. So there have to, so there has to come a time, and there will, I'm fairly satisfied, come a time where social media responsibilities will be increased. They won't like it. They'll fight against it. In fact, it'll make life a little bit more difficult for everybody because you'll have to think a little bit more in everything you do, but it's going
to
be important.
Yeah. The other aspect of this case that I wanted to touch on, Nolene, was the fact that, I suppose the fact that in some of the victim impact statements that we heard, or some of the evidence that was given, we heard a lot about how these women were afraid to come forward in a way because somehow by using Tinder or by online dating, there is a tiny element where somebody might think, well, you put yourself out there, you went and met somebody you didn't know, you let him come to your house and pick you up in his car, and therefore there's some element of culpability there. How important do you think this case was to show that that absolutely is not the case, that by using online dating, using Tinder, does not mean any of what I just said there?
And indeed, the judge in the case was great. She just said, because you go online dating does not mean you're inviting rape. She was really just said it as a clear sentence. And that was important because actually, you know, we run the National 24-Hour Helpline. Dublin Rape Crisis Centre runs the National 24-Hour Helpline. And the number of people who blame themselves before they blame anything else, be it online or be it offline, they certainly do all of that. They blame themselves and say, why did I do this? Why did I do something else? Yeah. And in fact, one of the victims in the case said she was pushed by the by Nevin's team to say something. She said, when she was asked why she did something, she said, because I was stupid. And that's the kind of thing that puts people off. It certainly does. And the reality is we all take risks. We all make mistakes. And what's important about this is it shows the Gardaí, the prosecutors and the court took seriously that rape and sexual assault are not the, should not be the outcome of you making a mistake which had nothing to do with that. So the mistake, we all make mistakes and some of the, we all take risks, but none of them should lead to rape or sexual assault.
Absolutely. I might just give a mention to your helpline. Yeah. Anybody who's listening and affected by what we're discussing this morning, the helpline for the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre, 1800 77 88 88. Nolene Blackwell of the Dublin Rape Crisis Network, thanks for coming in to talk
Thank
to
you,
us
Susan.
This morning.